You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to Flights of Fantasy, your romanticy podcast book club. I'm Anna, joined by my book besties, Kim and Christina. And together, we're diving into the characters, theories, lore, and magic behind all your favorite fantasy romance books.
Oh my gosh, we are here for a very exciting episode. So we decided to just like casually get together and record our Onyx Storm initial reactions. We all just finished yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
We are together in New York and we felt like this needed a special sit down episode.
It does, because we're like never together. CC3 was like the first book we were all together finishing.
Physically, right. Yeah. This felt really special for sure. We also saw Rebecca last night. So it's been a whirlwind of Onyx Storm for the last 24 hours, truly.
It has. It's been so fun. So this is going to be like a very high level, more just like vibes and feels. We are, of course, going to be doing several Onyx Storm episodes, breaking every single thing down, doing our deep dives, doing all that stuff. But this is just like a high level. We just finished. We're super excited. We loved it so much. And we just want to chat about it type of episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So before we dive in, obviously a spoiler warning for Onyx Storm. We are not going to be able to talk about this book spoiler free. I'm really sorry. We just can't do it. So if you have not finished Onyx Storm, do that and come back.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's do like a round robin of our overall vibes, feel of the book. Anna, start us off.
So I had a journey. So I was a little frustrated in the beginning. It took me a little while to get into it. And then I feel like there was a turning point around chapter 18 and I was all in, baby. Mm-hmm. Like I could not stop. I couldn't put it down. I was frantically reading on the plane trying to finish.
Oh my God. We have to tell the story. Okay. So obviously Christina lives in New York. Anna and I flew in for the Rebecca Yarros event and like we knew we were going to be together and we were going to record this episode. And so Anna's like, I'm sitting in the food court, I'm reading at the airport, like just come find me, okay? Like I can't look up.
Yeah.
So I walk up and Anna is just like, oh God, like sitting at the table by herself, just stressed. And I walked up and I was like, hey, what you reading? What's up?
Yeah. So like, I was in the part that I was reading was right in the big battle with Theophany. And the Rivastad chest was there. And like I was so stressed out.
Yeah.
And I didn't even see Kim walk up.
Yeah. It was really funny. Like she did not look up at all. I'm like walking up with my little suitcase and I was like, oh hey. And we were supposed to go get a cab and go meet Christina. But instead I was like, I have 3 pages left of this book. Like I have to finish. So instead I just sat down.
So we sat at the airport. We got a little Starbucks.
Yeah.
We sat down.
Yeah.
Kim finished. And then when she was done, I was like, okay, I'm going to read in the cab.
In the cab.
On the way back to the hotel. And so I finished it in the cab.
She finished it in the cab and I recorded her reaction. It's on Patreon. It's so funny of just like, wait, what? Like, I'm sorry.
Sneak marriage.
Well, which by the way, Anna called. She literally called there was the epigraph at the top where it talks about like a lieutenant like can marry whoever they want after they graduate. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
And Anna looks at me and goes, did they get sneak married? And I was like, sneak what?
You were such a good actress.
Thanks.
I was like, oh, okay, no, they didn't. And then it was like sneak married. I was like, yes.
I literally go, I didn't even read that. Like I wouldn't read a Rebecca Yarros epigraph. I was like, I don't know. I just keep reading. I don't even know.
Well, when Imogen's like the ring on your finger and it's the emerald, there's an emerald missing from the dagger in one of the dreams. And there I was is. Like, and but I thought of another series where there's an emerald involved.
Yes.
And I went, and that immediately triggered a wedding band.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I bet maybe Zayden's gonna propose. Like he took the emerald out of the dagger?
Honestly, they talked a lot about it, to be fair.
They did.
He called her the consort, and then at some point she was like, this is not the time. And he very seriously looked at her and was like, when would be a good time? Not right now. We are in a high stakes death situation.
The heir of the throne has been kidnapped and held hostage.
Yeah.
There's about the time, Zayden.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My toxic ass would be like, now let's talk about it. Now who cares? Let's talk about it. When are we going to get married?
Yeah,
Christina, what about you? What were your overall vibes feel?
Oh, my God. I love this book so freaking much, guys. I have not had this much fun reading a book in, I truly cannot remember the last time I had this much fun reading a book. I am 10 out of 10, obsessed. I loved the vibes. I feel like her writing has elevated and that we had all these Easter eggs and reveals that felt earned and really hidden. And I loved it. Yes, a few things in the beginning, you know, I think they bothered me less, but I do agree that they were there. But I agree, again, after 18, it was just off to the races. Like, I finished and immediately wanted to reread it.
Yes, I can't wait to
go back.
Absolutely
agree. Yeah. I agree. Like, I think Anna and I are the more, like, logical, realistic, like, well, that doesn't make sense. Like, why would this happen? And Christina is a total vibes reader, which, like, I very much envy at times. Because I have a hard time, like, turning my brain off to things that don't make sense. If something doesn't make sense to me, it's, like, distracts me to the point where I can't get fully in it.
And I think I'm in the middle of you two, but I also think the three of us, because of the nature of what we do, it's hard. It's just, it's hard for me sometimes to move past it until it's like explained better. And I'm like, oh, okay, all right, I get it now.
But we feel like that we did move past it.
No, we moved past it.
And it just skyrocketed to easily my favorite book in the series. Yes. Easily the most fun I've had reading a book in. I mean, I had way more fun reading this than CC3.
Same.
I enjoyed this so much more. I felt like it was so fun to read. It was just fun. Like you said, Christina, like in that Rebecca interview, you could tell she had fun writing it, and that very much translated. And I think the readers all had more fun reading this book.
She like injected more fun, and the characters had more fun. And she did say in the interview she felt grounded in the world at this point.
Yeah.
So it felt like she knew the characters better, and we did, you know?
And that showed. I think it felt very grounded. All the characters felt very real. The way they interacted with each other felt super genuine.
Another thing that I think really made a difference for us was Zayden and Violet's communication.
Oh, thank
there was
God.
No miscommunication. There was no fighting. He was so devoted to her. The romance was so central to the plot and to the advancement of the plot.
Yes.
And he was so steadfast with her the entire time. And that's what we needed and wanted after Iron Flame.
Absolutely. It made us have a very stable foundation so that if anything happened to them, I wasn't like, oh, they're going to break up.
No.
Like Zayden multiple times was like, no, we're past that.
No, like, he was like the Duke of Angst. Somebody calls him the Duke of Angst. But it was done in a way that was not annoying.
Yes, totally.
Agreed. Yes, the taking out of the secrets and asking the questions was very appreciated.
very much appreciated.
Thank you so much.
Also, the spicy scenes were spicy.
They were fantastic. I think she gave us a great amount. And I actually really thought it was kind of fun that we couldn't actually have sex until we got no magic.
Oh my God, I was
I was frustrated by it. But it kind of...
She was edging us. I kept saying, I was like, she was just edging us.
Anna and I were texting because we were ahead of Christina. And we were talking about like, Zayden's like, we can't have sex. Yeah. Like, we can't.
I will lose control.
And I was like, I think we're going to have a lot more throne room scenes where it's about her because he's scared to like fully let go.
Yeah.
And Anna was like, I don't hate it. I would love to see it.
And we did.
They were so well done. It was so good.
And when we did have them, it furthered the plot in a way. Like, we, you know, we're on the land where there's no magic and Zayden is able, he can't channel. So, like, it makes sense. Like, he's not going to hurt her by accident. He's not going to do something because... My God, they can't have sex without breaking furniture with their magical powers. And I'm like, why are your orgasms so insane?
So insane.
That, what is happening? This doesn't happen to everybody
because
else.
Because it's so good, Anna.
I know.
Because it's Satan.
I was like, they got on the table and I was like, okay. I really don't think I was like, this table's going to break. Like, it's 100% going to break. And it broke.
This table's not long for this
and
world.
Also, I was like, and we just kept going. We just rolled over and kept, I was like, well, we're not going to. Okay.
No.
I think she's even like, are you okay? And he's like, I fell 3 feet, not 30. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
What is happening?
I loved it.
I loved it.
That felt like a fan service moment too. They broke more furniture.
Yes.
And absolutely. 100%.
Also, that's the moment where everyone's in the hallway and Riddick is like, did you guys break something again? They broke something again.
Yeah.
This is like the armoire. And Mira goes, the what?
The what? And Violet's like, you saw it. He goes, Violet, it's hard to miss an armoire being carried out of a dorm room.
Yeah. Mira's like, I'm sorry, hold on, what's happening? And everyone, Zane's like, I'm sorry, what can I do for all of you? Like, wait, let's move along.
What
move along.
You all possibly need?
Yeah. Yeah.
God. But yes, this sex
spice
scene.
Was spicing. Spice was spicing. The world expanded in a really fun way. Yes. That was so fantastic. It was so well done. It was just such a joy to get to go to all these different places. Mm-hmm. And I think she wrote them incredibly well.
They all felt different. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in a different book or by a different author, this would have felt maybe overwhelming. Like, we're doing too much. Like, we're going to too many places.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And instead, I feel like it was really effective. I actually liked it.
I did. I liked it too. And I think it's also giving us a little more insight into this idea that the gods are very important outside of Navarre. And so I think that's going to be interesting going forward in the next books.
We know Dune's important.
You know who's also very important is Riddick.
Guys, I fucking love him.
MVP of the book.
I mean,
incredible.
Incredible. I could not. The end of that chapter when the knife stabs him, the way I had a brain aneurysm, I was like, the one person you cannot hurt is Riddick.
No.
The one person.
You cannot touch him.
He is the joy that we need in this book.
Absolutely.
And especially in this book.
Yes.
Also, last night at the interview, she said that she loved the arc of Riddick. And someone from the audience just screamed, don't kill him! Yeah.
And she goes, I don't take requests.
I don't take requests.
It was really
funny. Oh my God. But the scene, I think one of my favorite, I mean, there were so many great Riddick scenes, mm-hmm. but I loved the moment of vulnerability we had with him. And when Violet's going in for, I love how he calls it quest squad, you know, to meet with everybody in charge. And Riddick comes in and he gives this beautiful speech about how, like, Rhiannon, you're leading our squad. You're busy doing this. Sawyer, you're freaking recovering. You've lost a leg. Like, he's like, I have been reading every single book.
Yeah.
And don't act like my humor makes me any less than all of you.
Right.
I trained just as much as you. I studied just as much as you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make me less of a squad mate or capable of handling, like, my job.
Yeah.
And
I love
it
that.
Was incredible. Such an incredible moment. And then Violet was like, you're with me. Like, let's
go. Absolutely.
And also because of what her father had written about, like, you go into battle with those you trust implicitly. Mm. And Riddick is one of those people.
Absolutely.
But then I love, so we have this beautiful moment. But then because it's Riddick and true to his character, he stands there steadfastly next to Violet. She argues her point.
Yeah.
She kicks ass.
Yeah.
Says, fuck the patriarchy.
Yes.
And then at the end, he, like, exhales. And she's like, Riddick, I'm really proud of you. Like, you didn't, like, do any snide comments. He goes, I kept my inside thoughts inside. And I was like, I can't wait to see his character on TV.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
He's one of the ones I'm most excited for. I mean, obviously, Zayden is number one. But, like, Riddick is a very close second.
100%. Yeah. Oh, my God. There's a quote when he's, like, making fun of them as a couple. And he's like,
God,
just tell me your secrets. My secretive ways are what attracted you in the first place. Can't you just keep yourself out of harm's way?
It's like reenacting them. It's so funny. When him and Violet go off in the woods and have their little conversation, and then they come back, he's got his arm around Violet, and then Zayden's, like, leaning up against a tree staring at them, and he's like, out loud, if I move my arm, it looks like we were doing something, but we weren't doing anything. And then, so if I keep my arm, are you going to be, like, mad? And then Violet had lost her temper and struck down a tree with lightning.
Yeah.
And he was like, and also, like, you know, we were together, and I know you saw the lightning, but, like, we weren't together. And Zayden is just like, first of all, I trust Violet.
Yeah.
Second of all, that strike of lightning wasn't big enough.
Love
Riddick's,
it.
Riddick's response is like, he's so mad at Zayden right now.
Yeah.
And Riddick's like, I'm really mad at you. So, like, we're not at dick jokes yet.
We're not back to dick jokes yet.
It's, like,
too soon, Zayden.
God, he was so good. Such a star of this book. You know what else was interesting? Were the side romances. Not on our bingo card, ladies.
Guys, no. I loved these so much.
And they were so fun. And they weren't distracting. They actually brought so much to it. I loved, loved them.
I was totally, like, Drake and Mira.
Oh,
immediately.
1,000%.
She needed him in the balls. I was like, it's giving
it's enemies to lovers. I love it. And we know Rebecca said one of her favorite tropes is enemies
she
to
did.
Lovers.
She did.
And what could be more enemies than kneeing someone in the dick?
Yeah. And oh my God, Dane and Sloane.
Dane and Sloane.
Ultimate enemies.
Could it be more enemies? He literally was responsible for her brother dying.
Yeah.
Guys, Dane and Sloane really threw me. I didn't hear anyone theorizing that. I didn't hear that anywhere. I don't think anyone talked about them as a couple.
She blushes.
Oh,
multiple the blush. Times.
And then at the end when she's helping him siphon and she's like, I'm going to hurt you. And he smirks and he goes, God, don't I know it.
Dane?
I was like, hey, we're in the middle of the battle, Dane.
I was like, Dane, say more.
Dane, say more.
See, it's so funny that you guys read it that way because I read it as like, it's going to hurt to have the siphoning taken out. Yeah, Dane, it's going to hurt. I was like, it's war times.
It's war times, Dane.
She's going to siphon your power.
And we're like, God, the romance.
God, he's so complex. It's so romantic.
But it is actually really impressive that we like Dane this much at this point. Really, truly. We hated him book one. Book two, I was still like, I don't trust you.
Yeah.
And then I think maybe the separation so viscerally from his dad helped in this book. But like, I'm totally fine. Yeah. Like, I'm fine.
Yes, I'm fine. I stand by all of the garbage, trash, whore comments we made in book one.
Oh, absolutely. But those were super valid.
She laid the groundwork in book two, and we were already starting to, like, feel that.
Oh, yeah.
But in book three, it solidified.
I reread Iron Flame in preparation for this, I really actually liked him. Once he saved Violet, he came with them to the rebellion. Everybody hated him, but he came anyways because it was the right thing to do. He stood on the right side of history. He helped translate, you know, the diaries. He sincerely and genuinely apologized to Violet. And I just love this idea of, like, how are we going to get around the fact that Dane is technically responsible for Sloane's brother dying?
It's going to be rough.
But, like, she clearly has feelings for him, you guys. Like, the blushing was there.
And she's fighting them. She doesn't like it.
The blushing was very telling. And he's like, train your signet. And train your signet. That's how he said it.
But also, Drake and Mira.
Oh, guys, we haven't even talked about broccoli.
Oh, that's what I was about to bring up. It's broccoli.
That was okay. I was like, what are we doing with a kitten on this journey? They're like, what's the name? Broccoli. And Mira's like, what the fuck? You named your cat Broccoli? And he was like, yeah, it's because it's like not, you don't want it, but like you need it. Or once you have it, you feel good.
They're 100%, like they're canon for sure. But also Garrick and Imogen, that was really rewarding to see even the glimpse of it.
Yeah.
At the end when she's like, I'm not leaving. And he says, I'm not leaving you.
And she needed that. I think we've seen that pining for a long time.
Yeah.
And that hopefully is setting up to them actually acting on that next book. And like, we're going forward from here.
I think so.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Speaking of pining, Kat and Traeger, we do have to talk about them as a side romance. R.I.P. Traeger.
We do. That was
poor Kat.
I know.
Like,
she was just finding happiness.
I know.
Damn it.
She just became nice. Like,
she just stopped being a bitch.
Truly. I was worried she was going to go straight back to bitch.
No,
but
she didn't.
She actually.
No. You know, she did her best.
She did. Yeah. And it was just sad because, like, you saw them walking down and holding hands.
I know.
And you know, Violet's like, I'm so happy she found somebody. And Traeger's literally been, like, standing. Like, for the whole first half of the book, he's like, I'm right here.
Yes.
Like, see me.
Yes.
Love me. Walk me. Pick me.
And she does. And then it gets ripped away.
Oh, that was sad.
That was a rough time for all.
Yeah. Okay. So, Christina, can you rattle off some of the big reveals that we got?
I would love to do nothing more. And you know which one I'm going to start with?
Yes, please do.
Guys.
I'm going to start with Halden because
you called it.
She called it, you guys.
This was the hill I was dying on.
Yep.
Yes.
I made a 30-minute Patreon video just me talking about this.
Yes.
The amount of clips we made and the amount of people that commented that this was a dumb theory and that I was wrong.
Oh, how validated do you feel right now?
Truly, this is the most validated I've ever felt. I text Anna and I was like, is this how you feel all the time? Because it is exhilarating.
Yes, it is very nice. It's a great feeling.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I was trying to convince Lexi and Nicole of this. Yes. was my hill that I was dying on.
Yes, it was best. Incredible.
Kim and I were so happy because we were ahead of Christina.
Yeah.
And we were like, screaming for Christina. We were like, Christina, we need you to get to this page.
Yeah.
It was the best. It was so fun to see, like, because you were so, really, you convinced us. Like, we hadn't thought about it.
Totally.
It was such a fun reveal.
I was so gung-ho about it.
It's just so validating. And everyone that was like, it's not about the eyes. Like, that's not right. Guess what?
Well,
it was.
Cheers and happy reading.
Cheers and happy reading.
To that is what
to
I have to say.
That.
Okay. All right. We got so many reveals. Dreamwalker. She's a dreamwalker.
She's a dreamwalker.
That's her second Cygnus.
Yep.
She is a dreamwalker, which is kind of a version of Intensic, and also makes sense that she was like, guys, it was right in front of you. She was in Zayden's dreams.
Literally
the entire Iron Flame. She was in Zayden's dream.
I'm really excited to break this down further and what this really means and what she can do with this. But she's officially a dreamwalker.
Yes.
We have Papa Sorengale's name,
y'all. It's Asher.
Introducing Papa Asher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Papa Asher Daxton.
And then he took Sorengale.
And then he took Lilith's name, which is what we thought the whole time. We always thought that Lilith was the Sorengale. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But I did I thought that was interesting the way she trickled in the epigraphs of Asher Daxton.
Yes.
And we were figuring out that timeline. Also, then of course we have to plug that into the timeline where they left and separated from his family, which is also probably when Lilith decided that she needed to stay behind the wards all the time not to see Theophany.
Sure.
Also, in book one and book two, there are epigraphs from Colonel Daxton. And they're
I'm very excited to reread those.
How to be a scribe. It's
about being a scribe.
Which is fascinating. Yes. So that was a big one. We met Zayden's mom.
Y'all.
Guys, that reveal was so fun.
That was such really a good. Great reveal.
I had so much fun in that moment. They're on the beach.
Yeah.
And he's like, and then puts his hand across to guard Violet. And he just goes, mom.
Incredible.
End of chapter.
And the way that Garrick stiffens because he knows.
He knows.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
That whole dynamic was really hard to read and interesting to read. Yes. I'm excited to break that down further. But the fact that we also got that, huge.
Huge.
Another thing everyone's been talking about. Another interesting reveal, Auric Signet, turned out to be super helpful. Precognition.
Wow. Oh, Anna also called this one while we were reading in the airport. She looked up and she was like, what if Auric is General Melgren? He can see the outcome of battles, but not battles, just everything. He has precognition. And I literally was like, really, Anna? Really? At that point, I was like, yeah, that's what it is. You know what? I got nothing. I can't lie my way out of this.
You were so good. No, you were like, that's a really good idea.
And I just immediately called it. It was so funny.
Beautiful sleuthy mind.
It is a beautiful thing.
Okay. We also figured out why her hair is silver. That was huge.
That was
huge. She checked off so many questions. So much still to uncover there, but huge and interesting about how she was dedicated but didn't finish her dedication. And remember, in an interview previously, Rebecca has stated that in future books, she's going to have to grapple with why her hair is silver. Mm. And that is, she's going to have to grapple with the fact that her dad took her to be dedicated to this god.
And he did it to fix her because she was sick in utero.
Yeah.
And her mom didn't know about it.
Yeah, her mom didn't know about it.
And I do appreciate that we got the epigraph from Lilith not supporting it either. He was like, what has he done?
Yes.
What this kind of tells us in that really beautiful and hilarious sibling conversation when we kind of really figure this out is that they really didn't know as much about their dad as they thought they did. And they grew up thinking their mom was this type of person. And now after she's died, they're like, oh, she believed in me. She didn't want him to do this. Yes. She was looking out for us.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot more to uncover from Papa
and
Asher.
What does that mean? I mean, obviously she's been touched by Dune. So she's now has that blessing from that god.
Right.
Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean going forward?
Right.
Well,
right?
Because it's also been said multiple times, it's still a possible path.
It's still a possible path.
Yes.
Right. So another big thing, we find out other things about Second Cygnets. Turns out that all of the marked ones have the ability to have a second Cygnet. We're going to really dive into this in main feed because there's a lot to unpack. But the main real takeaways, if we're just talking about reveals, is the fact that Garrick has a second Cygnet. Oh, also, it turns out first we look for his first Cygnet first, and it's a wind wielder. And then turns out he is our distance wielder.
She is our
Which
yeah.
we did call with the Desert Island interview.
We did, yes.
And the big interesting thing she really checked off the list, given second signets, is that Liam did wield the ice at the end of Fourth Wing. It was his second signet.
Yep.
Feelings.
Now, we have feelings about that, and we want to talk about the logistics when we have had a chance to really sit with it.
Absolutely, yes.
And then let's just discuss the ending. What a wild, crazy ending.
Guys.
Like, just rattle off, like, our main big things that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. I mean, the sneak marriage. And clearly, you know, she asked Imogen to wipe her mind.
Yes. Which, why did she ask for that? It's like, there has a bigger plan in place.
Yeah. To me, it's plausible deniability.
It's 100%.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know where he is. I don't know what he's doing. If you torture me, like, you can look at, you have Dane look in my mind. He'll be able to tell you she doesn't know where he is.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's to save her.
I think Zayden probably told her too. Like, I think they have a plan.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was like, okay, I'm going to go be secret agent with Venon. We're married now, but she's going to have to erase your memories when you get there so that you're safe.
So I wonder if Imogen can erase memories without seeing the memories. Has that been discussed?
Ooh, interesting. I don't know.
Because then Imogen
would also be
a danger to knowing what happened if she knew the memories.
Right.
But maybe she's able to just erase the past few hours without seeing what's in there. Because if she could see that, would that make her a type of intrinsic? Like, you know, Zayden can see memories. So maybe she's able to just erase them without actually seeing them. Like, I'm erasing a certain amount of time.
Maybe. Right.
Because we know it's been 12 hours.
Yeah.
So let's talk about quickly the brother that's mentioned.
So, the person
who's turned.
So, So Zayden sees somebody behind that's turned. We don't know who it is, but he references them as his brother. And, like, how could this person do this after they've seen me struggle for 5 months with being a Venon? So, clearly, it's somebody in the inner circle, somebody that's close to him, either Garak or Bodhi. We've gone back and forth over the two of them, but it makes the most sense, I think, for it to be Bodhi right now, because why else would you sneak marry Violet to put somebody in charge of Tirindor?
Right.
Because Bodhi should be inheriting that.
Right.
Unless Bodhi's not available.
Right. He also said, I can't leave him here. Also, the last time we see Bodhi, he's on his hands and knees.
Yes.
Throwing up. Garak, we do see Garak is missing.
Garak is missing. But my theory with that is when he saves Imogen and brings Quinn's body back, he says, I only have enough in me for one more jump. If I leave here, I can't get back. And he says, but I have to do something. And Goldie just appears at the end. Andarna just shows up. How did she know to come back? Garak is our only distance walker.
True.
He could make that jump with his dragon to where Goldie is and be like, we need you, but he can't get back, and that's why he's missing. He only had enough energy in him for one jump, and it's only been a few hours that are missing.
I like that. I like that a lot. I think that tracks. I do want to understand how he knows where Andarna was, like where she, the mythical, where they are and they go. But I feel like we could figure that out.
I feel like if he jumped with the dragon and was just like flying around, like the Irids found him the last time, I think he probably just went back to the island and was like, yo, Goldie,
where you at?
We're gonna fly around. Where you at?
Shit's hit the fan. We need you to come back.
And you know Andarna would be like, what?
Yeah.
She would immediately come.
Totally.
But how did she fly that fast back? That doesn't make sense either. Maybe.
Oh, yeah, because Garak can't take her because he could only go one way.
Guys, maybe time moves differently with the Irids, and she's already learned a bunch, and maybe she's been there for a long time.
Maybe.
And she can poof the way they poofed.
Yes.
Onto the beach.
I love it.
You know?
I love it.
Interesting.
I do think telling us that Garak is missing is like a red herring.
I agree.
That we're supposed to think it's Garak, but just the way that Zayden speaks about it, which again, we'll go into in more detail, I am coming around to the idea that I think it is Bodhi.
Yeah.
And we foreshadowed setting Violet up to be the reluctant leader.
Absolutely.
Exactly. We've been foreshadowing that the whole book.
He says she promised, and she did specifically say, she has promised me you'll take care, you'll take it.
And he's bonded to a general among dragons. You will be a leader whether or not you like it or not.
Well, yep.
And that's what's happening.
Also to mention, there are four riders missing.
Yes.
So
yes.
We know it's Garak and Bodhi, but we don't know who the other two are.
Yeah.
Right.
And we don't know where they are.
Guys.
All right.
All righty.
That's it.
All right. Yes. Stay tuned. We are going to have so many more deep, deep dive episodes.
Yes.
Fully fleshing out this amazing book.
Yep.
So stay tuned for more on Next Door.
Yeah. Yay. Bye.
Well, friends, that wraps up another episode of Flights of Fantasy Podcast. Don't forget to join our book club community on Instagram and TikTok at Flights of Fantasy Podcast, where you can share your thoughts, theories, and favorite moments with us and fellow listeners. We'd love to hear from you. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform. Your support helps us spread the magic of romanticy to even more book lovers. Until next time, keep dreaming, keep reading, and remember, every good story deserves to take flight.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.